Hey, how you doing, Ignite City? Hey, I know that from yesterday's podcast episode, looking at Numbers 25, and I'm sure if for those of you that maybe looked it more into it, you found some other things that are interesting. Man, I would love to hear about those things. Email me, brian@ignitecity.church. But today we're going to change gears and go to Luke 15. And I know that Numbers 25, 23 to 25, and then Luke 15 were in a reading from earlier last week. But I'm just a little behind in sharing what it is that God, I feel like God is showing me, or at least convicting me on, or encouraging me on. And I don't want to go fast just because. So if I'm behind from now on, it's totally fine. Luke 15 is one of my favorite passages. Yes, the prodigal son story is in there, but it actually starts because of verses 1 and 2. And it says this. It says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him." Friends, I love the fact that Jesus shows up on the planet. He's God incarnate. He shows up, the second person of the Trinity, and he's doing ministry and loving people and speaking truth in such a way that sinners and tax collectors were the worst of society in that day. Everyone hated a tax collector. If you were to ask a person who is the worst person on the planet, it would unanimously be the tax collector. And so the worst of society and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. It didn't say that they were going there to be healed of something. It says they are going near, they wanted to draw near to him in order to hear him. And now watch the response of the Pharisees and the scribes. Notice what they do. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumble, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Isn't it amazing how we can place a title on a person to make them less human, which helps us not have to really care for or love them? You'll hear people refer to the unborn as a fetus. Well, it's easier to treat a fetus. You don't know what it is. It's just a title. It's a thing. You'll hear people refer to people who are here. Maybe they're in the United States illegally. And friends, that's a whole nother topic. But here's the thing. When we call people by a title, illegal immigrants, instead of humans, men and women, boys and girls with names, we feel justified, or we feel a little bit more comfortable treating them as less than human. Friends, we need to be careful that we don't jump into this attitude of looking at people and starting to categorize them rather than just starting with the basics. The basic is this: every person is a human being, created male or female in the very image of God, and therefore that person has intrinsic value. And you can tell that God thinks this because of how Jesus befriended tax collectors and sinners. He did not categorize them. Yes, he could call us out as sinners. He's God. But you also notice his love for quote unquote sinners. He sees a man in need, he deals with the man in need. When he deals with a woman, like when you think of the woman with the flow of blood for 12 years, when he addresses her, he calls her woman, giving her dignity back. In that one statement, gives her dignity. Friends, we got to stay away from this categorizing people so we feel justified, or we feel a little bit better about ourselves, rather than realizing, hey, all of us before God were sinners. We've all screwed up. That's the only thing that I can give to God. But God in his grace wants us his creation. And then when we come to Christ, we then are given a new identity where we become children of God. That's person, it's relationship. And so when you look at that, here are the tax collectors and sinners coming to Jesus. And then Jesus is actually accused of, as if this is a bad thing, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And right next to that in my Bible, I just wrote these words: "Thank you, Jesus." Jesus, thank you that you are a friend to sinners. You're a friend of sinners. And then you call sinners out from sin, and you offer them forgiveness as we surrender our lives to your lordship and receive your gift of salvation, believing that you died on a cross and came back from the dead. And then we are redeemed, we're restored, we're brought into new relationship with God as sons and daughters of the King. God, that's amazing. And so Jesus, I am so thankful that you are a friend of sinners. Then you get to verse 3. And the reason that you say, well, isn't that a category? Not if we're all in it, we're all there. It'd be one thing if I say, well, they're sinners, I'm a saint, or look at those people. I'm glad I'm not like those people. I'm placing them in a category. But if I say, hey, we're all sinners, man, there's only one category. We're all in need of God's grace and mercy. I'm not finding myself in pride above someone else. I'm just simply saying, hey, according to the scriptures, we're sinners, but we have a Jesus who's friend to sinners. Then verse 3, he says, So he told him this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, now listen to this, just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Friends, there's more joy in heaven than when you take this parable. A shepherd finds the lost sheep, leaves the 99 in the open country, finds the one, comes back and starts a party. And Jesus is trying to show, hey, sinners. And really when he say, hey, the righteous persons who need no repentance, this is God setting up categories. This isn't us. This is Jesus setting up categories. But the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance, it could be those who haven't gone out, they're right where they're supposed to be with the shepherd. It also could be like, he also could be playing on words like, hey, those of you who are Pharisees, you think that you're righteous, but you're not. But over the sinner, there's more joy and more celebration in heaven over one sinner who repents. What is God's heart for those who don't know Jesus? What is God's heart for the sinner? That they would repent. They would repent from sin and turn to Christ and receive salvation. Verse 8, and it's just another story that's pretty similar, just telling the same truth with a different parable. He says, or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Friends, I want us to see these two things. The first, Jesus is a friend of sinners. And we should be so thankful for that, because outside of Christ, we were sinners. When we came to Christ, he changed our identity to become children of God. But friends, if he wasn't a friend of sinners, then he never would have come for sinners. And then to hear his heart that sinners would repent and that there's joy in heaven. There's joy before the angels of God. And here's my conviction on this part. I believe angels are all facing God. And so if there is joy before the angels of God, that means God is full of joy over one sinner who repents. That is God's heart. He wants to see sinners repent. The second thing I love about this is you see Jesus' heart for the one. You see it here in verse 4. He leaves the 99 in the open country and goes after the one that is lost. Down here in verse 8, or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it, the one coin. And I bring this up so many times, and it's actually how we close every worship service. But I believe God is challenging his people to get back to this, because we live in a culture of Christianity in the States that I have a conviction about, where it just has to be something massive and there has to be tons and tons of people that show up to something, and that's how we know that God moved. And guys, I used to live in that. I used to believe that. It's like, I want to be the person up front speaking to the thousands. And that's when you know that God's moving, because thousands of people are there. And yes, there are times where Jesus does ministry to the multitudes, to thousands. There's a part in the book of Acts where Peter's preaching his first sermon and 5,000 people come to believe in Jesus. There's thousands of people. He's in the temple. But he happened to be where all the people would have been. But I believe the majority of Jesus' ministry is focused on Jesus dealing with and helping the one. How often? Just read through the gospel accounts and notice how often Jesus is dealing with the one. Also, notice how often Jesus will leave a multitude to go and help the one. Friends, what if we all did that? What if this week? Well, let's just say, what if today? What if today we ask the Lord, God, who is the one that you want me to impact? All of us. And what if all of us get to lead someone to the Lord today? We all get to lead them to where they submit their lives to the Lordship of Jesus. They commit to become followers of Christ. They receive his gift of salvation. They're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And then we tell them, hey, go find one tomorrow. Go find the one that God wants you to impact with the gospel. So they go do that. And then we do that. We're already multiplying. And say the next day, we all of us get to lead someone into submitting their lives to the Lordship of Jesus, to receive his gift of salvation, to believe in his death, burial, resurrection, to commit to following, to receive the Holy Spirit. What if all of us that next day, we all get to lead someone to do that. And then the next day, every single one of them, guys, there's this multiplication that happens because we're all involved in the process rather than this, rather than simply telling followers of Jesus, hey, go get your friends and bring them back to a worship service to hear that one person here talk about Jesus. Friends, every single one of us are called to do this, and every single one of us are gifted and anointed and called and given the responsibility to go and make disciples. Every single one of us to make disciples is not just evangelism for those who have a spiritual gift of evangelism. Jesus gave that great commission to all of the disciples that were on that mountain before he ascended into heaven. He gave them all the exact same commission, and it wasn't reliant upon spiritual gifts. All of us are called to go and share the gospel. Those with the spiritual gift of evangelism, you will just want to continue to do it no matter what. And for those of us that don't have it, it's obedience. It becomes easier as we do it, but it's not a spiritual gift. But we want to do it. Why? Because we love Jesus. So what if we all ditch to the side this idea that the only time that God works, or the majority of time when we know that God is doing something huge, is that tons and tons and tons and thousands of people are there. So it's got to be at a crusade. You got to get them to a crusade so they hear about Jesus. And I sit and go, hey, a crusade, I know people that have come to know Christ through those things, but that's not the only thing. That's not the only time that Jesus is working. I'm convinced that God does great things and wants to do great things. And I'm convinced that God wants to do greater things through our finding the one. And every single follower of Jesus looking and finding the one every single day, that they would come to Christ and then they would do the same, that we would see this great movement of God. So one, I'm thankful that Jesus is a friend of sinners. Two, I'm so thankful that he is after the one, and that as we mimic him, we will do ministry like Jesus did. And yes, we can have we'll have opportunities where maybe we'll be in a setting where there are so many people and we can bring Jesus to them. But what if we just lived in the mundane? Every single day, we're faithful and we're looking for the one. And we see God do incredible things because we're faithful to what he's called us to do right where he's called us to do it. Every single follower of Jesus engaging in the process of making disciples, baptizing those disciples, and teaching those disciples to obey all that Jesus has said. Friends, that's what we're all called to as we follow this friend of sinners who loved us while we were sinners. He loved us enough to die for us, to take our place. Friends, he came for us, and he shows us a model of ministry. Friends, I hope this is a challenge. I hope this is encouragement, whatever is necessary to make us look more and more like Jesus. I love you guys more than you know, and we'll talk soon.